Hi. Hello, Perimenopausy. It's Anne Marie McQueen here. My friends always make fun of me because I always say my last name and I always say the first and last name of other people. It's a weird little thing that my group of friends used to do in our 20s. I had a boyfriend and he would phone his mom and say, hi, it's me. And he would say both his first and last name. It's really funny. I am running late. I was supposed to have this posted yesterday. There's just really a lot going on in my life, as I know there is a lot going on in your lives. First of all, I went away. It was my birthday on May 28th, and I turned 52, and it was a pretty good birthday, I have to say. I went away on a trip to Turkey, a trekking, like a hiking trip to Turkey. A really good friend of mine organized it. She had a dream for her 50th birthday, but of course, we all missed our 50ths. She had a dream that she would invite some really cool women and they would invite some really cool women. So she invited three people, including me and two other people I had never met. And I invited a couple of people, but couldn't swing anyone else. So her dream came true, kind of, but we joined another group, an Intrepid Tours, which is a really cool company. They, you know, it's very sustainable and you stay in, it's not like fancy hotels. You stay in like really cool hotels and rustic, and it's just very cool. They said it was a walking trip. They said that, and they said trainers, because I was really down with this. I was really going to order like a bunch of hiking equipment. And then I talked to my friend and she said, no, I'm just wearing my running shoes. And so not only did I not order hiking boots, I didn't order a special backpack. I didn't get those walking sticks. I didn't really do anything. I just showed up with my trainers and some yoga clothes and this ridiculous, like Nike, but not a backpack. Like the straps are made from rope. Thank goodness I had a hat. The bottom line is, okay, there were 14 people there. Quite a few of them were serious hikers. The bottom line was, I don't know whether this is a new hike, but it was sold as a walk along the Lycian Trail. And it was a really hard hike. It was like the people on the hike said that it was like medium to hard for them. And I went on this hike in Ras El Khaimah in the mountains last year. And again, I didn't have hiking boots. I don't know what my exact problem is with not getting the right gear, but it was a weekend retreat kind of thing. And it was a 5-hour hike in these mountains. And I had a really hard time. My shoes were slipping all over and it was really, really, really tough hike. And it was led by this Swiss army guy. I like saying that, Swiss military guy. And he said, this is a really challenging hike. I made it through, but it was very tough. I was very winded and I was at the back. And so, you know, I didn't think that this was that experience. I'm not sure I would have signed up if I'd known how hard the hiking was going to be, because I didn't really enjoy that day that I went last year. However, I did think I really enjoyed it after, and I really enjoyed challenging myself, and I swore that I would just get the right equipment and maybe try it again. So anyway, I also was very weakened because, and I'm going to talk about this sometime, but I struggled with a gut issue for over a year and a half. And for the last 9 months, I've been trying to heal it and I've tried a bunch of different things. And I finally did a month of like a really serious regime of, it's called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth is what I had. And I thought I was dying of perimenopause. I still have perimenopause, but it's much, much better. So I did a month of antimicrobials. That was really, really tough. I was on a very special, very strict diet. And then for the 2 weeks before, I did 8 days of a completely liquid diet with like a physician's elemental blend. And then the last 6 days, I did that partially with some like, you know, fish and greens. And so I was still following that special diet, which I thought I was going to have to do for months, but the SIBO got better. So for those first few days, I had just been on a liquid diet. I didn't have the right clothes or shoes. It was boiling hot. And we always started the hikes at 9 for some reason, I guess because the hotels we were staying at didn't open for breakfast early. Some days there wasn't lunch. So I took dates. And anyway, it was very hard. The first 2 days, I didn't think I was going to make it. I slept for 12 hours each night. I started to feel stronger after the second day. I'm telling you about it because the couple of days before, I mean, this was very new for me. I've done a lot of traveling living over here in the Middle East, but I've never done a an active trip like this other than a yoga retreat. And so I was nervous and I knew I wasn't in good physical condition. I haven't lifted weights in months. I've just been walking because I haven't felt well for a long time. And the day before, I was just having all of these things that happened. I got a pain in my ankle for about 4 hours. And I was thinking, well, I'm going to have to cancel. I mean, I have this pain in my ankle. And then I got a pain in my ear and I felt like I was getting an ear infection. And it was like I was fighting. Like, my friend's a neuroscientist and I was talking to her about this yesterday. And she said, think about it. Like, it's if a puppy or a dog knows that they're going to the vet and they don't want to go, they get really heavy and they won't like come, you know, and they'll be obstinate. And that's what was going on. So all day I was having like a disagreement with, I guess, my subconscious that didn't want me to go on this trip because there's a potential for danger. And I'll talk about that in a minute. So all day it was just like, I'm not going to go. And then I woke up the next day and I was so tired. And I thought, well, for sure I can't go. I'm just going to have to, I won't tell anyone I didn't go. I'll just stay here and rest. And I was flying out that night at 1:30. And of course I just packed and made myself go. Basically what I'm trying to say is my entire being was trying to come up with excuses not to go on this trip. And it ended up being amazing and fabulous. And I phoned a friend from Istanbul when I was on a layover on the way back. And he actually said, were you high or something? Like you were so, I thought you were high. And I said, no, I wasn't high. I was just so happy. I was so happy that my gut was healed. I was so happy that I went on this trip and it went so well. I was so happy that I turned 52 and I'm healthy and I get to go. I met all these great people. Like it was just a great, great experience. But if I had listened to myself, basically like the other person inside me that always says no to things, I wouldn't have gone and I would have missed this amazing experience. And I've learned as I've been doing more things in recent years, and I think maybe some of you will know what I'm talking about, this sort of surge of energy and purpose that you get in your late 40s, early 50s, whenever it comes for you, you start doing new things, but they are not without this internal resistance that kicks up every time. And, you know, I'm not a psychologist, but I just know that it goes like this. I want to do a new thing. I agree to do a new thing. I try to do the new thing. If it's a work thing or something to do with hot flash, it's very difficult. I get very frustrated. I throw myself in my bed a couple of times. I think, why am I doing this? On the hike, when I was sort of losing it, I was like, a lot of people just go away to the Maldives and sit on a chair. Why am I doing this on my vacation? I'm exhausted. I don't even know if I can take another step. That was going through my mind. When I'm doing the new thing, I think about, you know, I just think I get mad. I always get really mad when I'm doing something new. And I don't know who I'm mad at. I'm just angry that I'm having to do this new thing and figure it out. And then there's like a break and it gets a tiny bit easier and a tiny bit easier. And there were two moments on this trip where it was like that. I was walking on the second day and I literally didn't think I could keep going. And this really awesome British guy was there, a big strapping 34-year-old, sturdy. He said, do you want me to carry your bag? And I said, you know what? I really do. And I almost want to cry because just taking off that stupid bag just made me feel so much better. And then I think we walked for another 15 minutes and we got to the place where we were stopping the walk. So that was very, very, very cool. And the first and second night I went to bed in horrible pain, just exhausted. Everyone else was drinking wine. You know, they're all in better shape than me. They're all drinking wine upstairs. I can hear them laughing and I just go to bed. I felt like a loser. But the second morning I woke up and I was stronger. I slept for 12 hours. I was stronger. And I was like, I know I can do this. I know I can do this for the rest of the week. And that's why I was so excited when I called my friend from the Istanbul airport and I sounded high because the amazing feeling of challenging yourself like that is just, it's just unbelievable. And I think too many people don't try and they're comfortable and they're miserable. And yes, I was miserable around this trip, but in the end, oh my gosh. You know, I have friends from around the world I'm sure I'll never see again, but they're in my phone. I could WhatsApp them if I wanted. And I'm talking about all this because
I am so
excited right now because we are ready to launch the Menopause Shift Summit. I joined forces with Andrea Donsky, a nutritionist in Toronto. We met on social media. She's a huge TikTok star. She has like almost 200,000 TikTok followers. And, you know, we just sort of met and jived. And then we ended up having some calls. And she said right away, do you want to do a summit? And I'd always thought, geez, I'd like to do a summit. But all of the things I've done with Hot Flash are things that I saw and I thought I would like to do. But actually, had no idea how to ever do them, nor could ever foresee or vision myself doing them. Like, you know what I mean? It's like sort of like when you think, oh, I'd like to write a book, but you can't actually think of like A, B, C, D, E to actually get that done. You know, when I would think I want to have a newsletter, I didn't know how to do it. It was just like, And then slowly and surely, a newsletter, a podcast seemed insurmountable. Now I can actually do the podcast myself. I'm doing these solo episodes until I launch season two. It's all just figuring it out and buckling down. But I said yes to the summit, and then immediately my personal life blew up, and it was very, very hard to execute. I did 20 interviews. It was very hard to execute them. Then I got COVID, and then I came back from COVID. This gut problem was serious. I was drowning, and it was a lot of uncertainty when you put together something like this. We hired a team. I've never worked with a team. I've never worked with Andrea and her business partner, Randy. There's so much trepidation, like, who are these people really? How am I actually going to do this? Am I going to lose all my money? Is it going to be stupid? That was a big one. Is it going to be stupid? Am I going to look stupid? And I mean, I have looked stupid before, lot loads, but as we've clunked it through, I realized this is a first time. And Brené Brown when she launched her podcast, she was talking about the FFS, the fucking first. Oh, the FFT. Ugh. The FFT, the fucking first time. And the fucking first time is hard. It's always hard. You got to hammer everything out and then it gets easier. So we've been hammering it out. I've been dying of anxiety and worry and resistance. And I've been mad. I don't know. There's never anyone that I'm mad at. And then it's coming together. You know, I'm figuring it out. I'm doing the promotion. I'm talking to you about it. It's the same pattern. And I will tell you that there was a time that I thought I got to get out of this. And not because there was any problem with anyone on my team, but because the fear of where it was going and at me not knowing what was going to happen was intense. I'm reading The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene, which is a really great history book, if nothing else, but it's also, oh, it's a really good book about how to get your way, basically. And one of the laws is begin with the end in mind. I guess I did that with this. I mean, we knew we wanted a summit. I just had absolutely no idea how to make it happen. And now I know how to make it happen. And I have opinions on how to make it happen better next time. But we've had thousands of people sign up and more by the day. And it's so cool and interesting. So if you're listening and you're interested, the Menopause Shift Summit. On all my socials, there is a link to sign up. I can promise you 40 plus speakers, great content. Andrea and I are both, you know, we don't like the normal menopause narrative. There's a lot of stuff out there that's just very, there's a lot of people just putting content out, but not thoughtful. And Andrea and I are like, really, she's a biohacker. I'm not a biohacker, but I'm obsessed with everything new. So, that's where I'm at. And I'm just really impressed at how there's a formula for trying new things and getting through them and the confidence that comes from that. And people who do things, I now realize, because I always wanted to be like this, but I've just been doing this lately. They just know that. They know it's going to be hard. They know they're going to struggle. They know they're going to be annoyed. They know, but they just know that they're going to do it and it gets easier every time. And it does get easier and it doesn't, because there's always a point in time where I think, oh my gosh, you know, like I can't do this. I will tell you, on the Turkey trip, I fell multiple times. I fell down multiple times and it was like, you know, this was the kind of trip where you climbed uphill for 3 hours. I'm not joking. And then downhill for another 3 hours. It was just unbelievable. But I fell three times. And each time I thought, here it is. I'm going to die. I am going to die. And I didn't. I injured myself, but nothing too terrible. And at one point, this British girl said, you've fallen quite a lot. How many times have you fallen? And I said, three now. But that last one was in two parts. Because I had a two-part fall. I slid and fell, and half of my butt and my hand went into this thistle bush that I had frequently encountered. And if you touched it, your hand sort of hurt for 15 minutes and then it went away. So you know what was hurting. And then I stood up and everyone was looking and saying, are you okay? And then I started sliding again. So I did some strange maneuver and hurled myself to stop myself on my left shoulder. So that was the two-part fall. But all I'm saying is she said that's more than everyone else. She wasn't being mean. It's just, it was. I fell three times more than anyone else on the trip. Unless someone fell and didn't talk about it and wasn't seen. I was the 51, almost 52-year-old woman who fell more than anyone on the trip. And you know what? I'll take it. I'll be the person who falls the most. I will do it. Because if it means I get to walk away with the feeling that I had when I was sitting in that airport waiting for my connecting flight, when I called my friend, when I treated myself to some nachos that were terrible because it's Turkey. They don't know how to make nachos. It was a bad ordering decision. When I just sat there and thought, I'm so happy I did this. And this time of life, no matter what's happening, is all about that. Falling, trying, expanding. I won't have it any other way. And yeah, it's about tons of tricky symptoms. Yes. And we talk all about that in the summit. We talk about everything. We talk about how air quality is impacting your perimenopause. We talk about seed oils. We talk about embodiment. And we talk about weed and cannabis, CBD. There's a lot of stuff about your vagina, your your urinary tract. Sorry. The genitourinary syndrome of menopause, it's called. There's lots of stuff on hormone therapy, you know, how to take it, when to take it. Menopause at work, male menopause, come on. Lots of stuff. There is so much good stuff out of this. And if you bump up to one of the VIP packages, you can get a transcript. You'll get, I'm writing right now, a mini menopause must list. It's going to have some of my best research from the last 2 years. There's a DNA test that you get. There's a load you get to keep the videos. There's all sorts of stuff. So I'm kind of doing a sales pitch in here, but if you want to sign up, go to one of my socials. There's a link there. You could sign up and try new stuff. And if there's a little pain in your body, or you feel like you're getting sick, or you're scared, or you're mad, that's just resistance. Most of the time, it's just resistance. And if you push on through to that, really good stuff is on the other side. I hope you have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.